Well, good morning out there in Radio Land. What a day the Lord has made. What a glorious day it is to be alive in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the day that the Lord has made, and this is a day that we will rejoice and be glad in it, for we serve such a great King of Kings and Lord of Lords. My, oh my, what a day. What a day it is to serve Jesus, the Messiah. Amen. Praying for you today. Believe in God for the impossible, and also believe in God for the blessing of the Lord upon your life, and may his face shine upon you, and may his countenance surround you, and may his kingdom come in your life as it is in heaven. Father, we just thank you for this day that you have made. You are great. You are mighty in all of your ways. Over our kids and over our families, we speak Jesus. We speak the blessing of the Lord. We speak protection, divine protection over our schools. May your spirit sweep through hallways and through classrooms, through living rooms and kitchens. Lord, may your spirit go with us to the grocery store. May your spirit empower us to be witnesses unto all the earth today. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Miss Hannah, how are you this morning?
Good. Doing well. Still filled with gratitude and excited for what the Lord has today. Really starting to think about that. What you talked about on Sunday about just making decisions without asking the Holy Spirit. So trying to step into that a little bit more.
Yeah, I am very good at that. Very good at that. And so it's good.
Not just decisions either, but like just going about your day or going about something without, you know, saying, yeah, hey, Lord, which way you want me to go? What do you want for me today?
So yeah, and I think it's
I want to start stepping into that more.
And I don't think it's something like every time like you have your tall tumbler thingy in there. And I don't think it's every time you're like, all right, is it time to get a drink now? Like, I don't think it's that, but I do think it's tuning our ear in, and
just being more intentional about not just going from point A to point B to point C.
Yeah. I mean, there's some things like throughout the day for all of us, we've got things we've got to get done, like kids to be fed, houses probably to be cleaned, jobs to execute, you know, like all these kind of things. And but just willing to tap in. What are you doing today, Holy Spirit? Like, now, definitely on decisions. Like, I was very transparent about one I missed the mark on not too long ago. But sometimes just driving down the road, mm-hmm, and maybe you feel something in your mind or your spirit, like, go right today instead of left. And either way gets you there. Like from our house, it's very unique in the sense that you turn right or you turn left, we're going to get to Litchfield about the same time. Like, either way, get you to Litchfield just about the same time. Maybe one day, for some reason, you just feel the drawing of the Lord to turn right, whereas maybe you usually go left. Now, my wife is more of a right person, so she always goes right. I go left for some reason. I have no idea why. I like driving 259 more than 737. But maybe one day the Holy Spirit whispers and says, hey, go right today. That's where I want to learn to be sensitive and tuned into his frequency so that I can listen. But it's not just about listening for me. It's actually getting through my stubbornness and hard-headed actually doing as well. Mm-hmm. And that's where I'm at in my life too, is trying to just be more intentional about not just doing good things or great things or whatever it is, but doing Holy Spirit things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, like getting his wisdom on it instead of just trying to have our own wisdom. That's what I've been thinking about. But for some reason, I got to get this like wrong thinking out of my mind. For some reason, I think like, well, it's easy to overthink that, I guess, what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. But it takes trust.
Yeah.
To hear what he's trying to say or what he is saying and walk it out. It takes faith to do that.
Now, I do think the one thing sometimes people fall victim into, and you have to guard against that, is then becoming scared to make decisions.
Yeah.
Like when you talk about that, like, and I think that some people's like, oh, all right, I can't do anything until I really feel that audible voice. And I don't think that's going to happen a lot of times. It's more of a gentle leading, a gentle nudge, kind of like this little elbow in the back, like,
yeah. You know. Honestly, maybe the better word for me is impatient with God, like, because we want him to speak in the audible voice, and it's easy to get impatient, but we got to keep our eyes open for, because he's speaking through so many different things.
Yep. Yeah, that's a good point, too. Maybe he's speaking through a situation or shows you something in a sunset or a sunrise, or maybe through even through the mouths of babes.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to be wide awake to what he's doing.
Yes.
Amen. And not get caught up. I feel like that is a propensity of mine. And honestly, just as a leader in the body of Christ, I see that as a propensity in the body of Christ, is getting caught up. And not like, there's sometimes in life where difficult seasons, it does demand more of you. Like, mm-hmm. I get that. I'm talking like caught up in the mundane, caught up in the hustle and bustle, and even caught up in the new trends or the new fads of our walk with Christ, where everybody's doing this or everybody's doing that. I, like we have said a lot over the last 4 or 5 years, I'm not looking for something new. I'm looking for something consistent.
Mm-hmm. It's like, before we know it, sometimes when we've not been on guard, we've just started like giving our time to stuff that we don't even know why we're doing it. I mean, scrolling is probably the best example of that. You don't even like have the thought of like, I'm going to go scroll right now, or I'm going to go do this thing, but then you just end up doing it.
Yep.
So there's those things of like, when we're not on guard, we just end up falling in the trend or the falling along the wave of what everybody else is doing. So like asking the Lord, like, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
Like, is this profitable, Lord? Do you, just stuff like that. Because I think that we easily can fall into those things mindlessly.
Yeah.
Mindlessly.
Yeah. And I think, and at that point, one of the things we fall victim to then is always, oh gosh, I want to word this very carefully, because I don't want to seem like it's just being critical, because in my own life, I'm there too. We get in that rut, and instead of just like praying and getting back into the word, we look for something new to bring us out of that rut. Like, how many times I've seen people leave churches because they're like, well, I just need a new church because this other church is just not doing it. It's not cutting it for me no more. But it was never about the church. It was about your personal walk. Like, you're in a rut, mm-hmm. and you fall victim. Sometimes it's not that. Sometimes you need to leave. But I've seen that happen a lot too. Or I need a new this, or I need a new that, or I need to go here. And this is where I think it even feeds a little bit off Monday's conversation. If we're not careful, we're always, I need a new encounter. I need a new experience. I need a new this. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
And we're always searching for something new to stimulate us, instead of doing the hard work and discipline with the word and prayer, because both of those are hard work sometimes. Like, yeah. You can't look at Hannah birthing Samuel and say that wasn't hard work. She was laboring in prayer. You can't look at Lot and, I mean, Abraham, and say he didn't pray and have to do the hard work of obedience and discipline. And you can't, I think sometimes we think that there's just this magical thing that's going to happen, almost like poof,
mm-hmm.
and then everything just falls into place, and we're just Jesus' third cousin at that point. I think we've said this enough, and I don't want to beat the horse, but in my own life, I do think the Lord's really calling us to the hard work. Like, we love the light work. We love the encounter. We love, who doesn't? Like, I love it. I mean, I love to fall on the floor. I love to shout. I love to get, you know.
It's because, like, after that's over, it's easy to just, I think we just like, we like controlling our own life.
Yeah.
We like being the one in control of our schedule and what we're going to do, what we want to do. But whenever the real transformation comes, things start to shift out of nowhere. Things, yep. start to pop out of nowhere. Things start to change a lot. Unexpected things happen. And then it's like, oh, I'm losing a grip on this thing.
Yeah.
So I think that's what it is it's like,
I really parallel it to sports. I think you can, like, and I don't, well, I don't care. I love golf. I'll talk about golf every day. When I used to play competitive golf, like real competitive golf, there were times we could win, and that same night I'd be back practicing. Like, because I know that there was that high, there was that moment of like, we won, but there's some things I still need to work on. And so I would be back at the range or on the putting green that same day a lot of times working. I'd be at the practice green or at the range with my headlights on driving balls because I can't see in the dark. Mm-hmm. But I knew I needed to work. And I feel like sometimes we don't take that same passion and same discipline and same drive to our spiritual life.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we did you see the service we had this morning? And then, like, we take a break for a week. We had the, mm-hmm. Ooh, man, that was good. And then we'll just go. But I want to, like, I mean, go rest. Go, you know, when you move in the spirit, it's exhausting. You're tired. But that doesn't mean you get to neglect Bible study for a week because you baptized 1,500 people in one weekend. Like, no, it means that afternoon I'm going to go back and spend some more time with the Lord. First of all, just thanking Him for what happened. And then I'm going to get right back into the Word and start hearing the Word of the Lord for the next season, for the next moment. I'm still checking my own heart. Is there pride in me after that moment? Is there something I don't like in there? Is there something you're still revealing? Like, what if we took the same kind of passion into our walk with the Lord as we did our earthly things that we really put work into?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. That's the kind of thing I think about a lot. And I think we're so scared of legalism and we're so scared of this that, well, I don't want to work. This ain't nothing about being saved or staying saved. This is about truly seeing the kingdom of God come in earth as it is in heaven and His will walking fully in my, working fully out in my life and for Romans to come to pass that the Holy Spirit is transforming me or changing me into the image of the Son.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Those are, I think you're on it with a lot of things. And
I think we forget too how much the Lord despises idolatry. And we fall in, I think that's a part of this. I think it plays a part into it.
Yeah. I don't know. I think you're right. And like I said, we're going to get into Zephaniah today. We tried for 3 days. But it's like, and I'm not saying that.
Well, it's kind of setting us up for what it talks
is.
About.
It is in really. A lot of ways. But I'm thinking like, I don't think me or Hannah is sitting there saying like, when you wake up in your room, I can't get dressed till I hear the audible voice. Like, because I don't know what to wear. What if I wear the wrong thing? And that's not what we're pushing for here. And that's not what I meant on Sunday morning when I preached that. But, you know, get guidance from the Holy Spirit. Trust that He's leading. And then also trust that He's guiding the footsteps of the righteous. Like, it's not, there may be times that you end up somewhere you didn't even expect to end up.
Mm-hmm.
Just trust you're there. And that kind of happened to me the other day in a situation. And yes, it's going to go back to golf for a minute. But I was just going to go play golf with a couple friends. But then I realized that the Lord had me there for another reason.
Mm.
And there was another reason and there's another situation that happened that day that with one of the guys I was playing with, and we had the opportunity to just speak into his life. We had an opportunity to hug him on a rough day. And it, you know, it was like, I thought I was just going to go hang out with a couple of friends and play golf, but it was actually a whole nother reason that I'm there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've ever had that happen, but just like, you're just going to go hang out with a couple of guys, but then boom, like the Holy Spirit has you there. And even the other night with Brother Waleed, when we went out for dinner, like, we had the opportunity to literally help save somebody's life that night. And physically first. Now we're still working on spiritually by God's grace. But it's like, trust that He's guiding the footsteps of the righteous too.
Mm-hmm.
So even as you're making these, they pray this prayer every morning. Lord, guide my footsteps. Guide my footsteps. Put me in positions that You will use me to show Your glory and to show Your power throughout the earth. And be willing then to say yes to those.
Mm-hmm.
And don't think that every single one of them is going to necessarily end up with like this drastic born again moment, but trust that you're in a situation maybe that day to water. You're going to be put in that situation that one day to seed, but also pray that he will guide you into the presence of people who's been watered and sown. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe you maybe never know this, but maybe somebody dropped a word to somebody the other day that was a seed, and then your job today is to go water that. And you don't even realize what's going on, but one sowing and one watering.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be anywhere at any time. And that's why we should be instant in season and out of season. And just because you're outside of the four walls of the church doesn't mean the gifts of the Holy Spirit cease in operation.
A lot of times they operate even more. Just depends on the need.
Amen. All right. I'm going to streamline announcements here. You can go to our app and find a lot of them. I've been telling Josh Milburn I'd be getting this out here. I was supposed to get it out there yesterday, and we just got caught up in the conversation and flowing, and Holy Spirit was just pouring out. So I want to make sure I get this in there. There is a tent revival there with Brother Zachary Capps. It's all starting the May 10th through the 23rd there at the Fire Truck Park in Litchfield. So they'll be there for a couple of weeks set up, and I'll send this over to you, Hannah, so you can get this picture on our app as well. And then also the other one I want to do, and we'll just leave it at those two today. The rest of them you can find is National Day of Prayer there in Brett County tomorrow night at 6:00. So
at 6:00, and then everywhere else pretty much noon, unless if it's on Eastern time, then it would be 11 Central time.
Thank you for rescuing me. I did not think my cough could get worse, and it has in the last 2 days. So, amen. All right. Well, we are in Zephy Boy this morning.
Zeph.
I like that name. Zeph and I. At this point, I can't say that me and Heather's like trying for another kid, but if the Lord, I guess, sees fit one day to do it, great. But if we do have another son, Heather, you're listening. I'm really liking the name Zephaniah, because you can just like Zeph or Zephy Boy. It could go several different ways here. But what would be a good name? What would be a good middle name for Zephaniah?
Oh.
Because Zephaniah, Ezekiel, John Calvin Wilson. All right.
I almost feel like it need to be a short one. Since the first is longer.
Zephaniah Haggai Wilson.
Zephaniah, maybe like a two-syllable or one syllable.
Do you still, like when you think of syllables, like, I just got to know if I'm the only one, and I would love to hear from a listener on this. I just want to know if I'm crazy or not. Do you still ever put your hand under your chin just to say, like, you do it kind of, I do it kind of secret, like, there's three.
I've done that before. Actually, instead of doing that, I started to just tap.
Yeah, oh, that's
with the syllables sometimes.
That would be a lot more inconspicuous, but everyone's going to be like.
They do teach you to do that, though.
You know, it's like, I always make it sound like I'm like,
I mean, it's actually more accurate if you do that.
Yeah.
Because you're feeling every time you're.
Well, I always act like I'm rubbing my beard or scratching my throat and just kind of feeling it, you know. So it looks very inconspicuous, but. I just wanted to see if anybody else has ever done that before, to count syllables in a word. And then sometimes, and I don't care who you are, you've done this and you know you have. When you're thinking of what comes next in the alphabet, you start back at the first. But you do it really fast. Somebody's know you're doing it in your head. Like, okay. Like you're looking up something in the
dictionary.
Or when dictionary.
You're trying to put stuff in alphabetical order.
Yes.
Yeah. When I worked at a library, I did that a lot.
A, B, C, D, F, D, J. All right. Yeah. You know, you drive to it really fast so that nobody knows you're doing it. But, all right, the word of the Lord, Zephaniah chapter 1. Now, remember, this is actually going to start, he's going to start out in the coming judgment on Judah. Now, we're going to talk a lot about the day of the Lord.
Starts off pretty rough.
It does.
But then starts getting
and
a lot better.
We won't be long in this today, but I want to talk a little bit more into this. I do think there is a actual judgment coming to Judah. All right? I do think there's a lot of prophetic things in this book too, but I do think the context is the coming judgment on Judah. So I want us to remember that coming in here. This, the word of the Lord that came to Zephaniah, the son of Cushai.
Wait, real quick. The judgment that already has came to them.
Yeah. Well, the coming judgment on Judah.
Or still to come.
Still to... Well...
Because I think it could be both.
Yeah, that's...
Like some of the judgment that's already came to them, but then also the coming in the last days.
Yeah. I want to unpack that a little bit more as we go.
Okay.
All right. The word of the Lord that came to Zephaniah, the son of Cushai, son of Gedaliah, son of Amorah, son of Ezekiel, Hezekiah, and the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah. Now, yes, those are right because I listened to my Bible app 15 times to make sure I got those words right. I'm trying to do that more so I don't sound so, what's the word you used over my life? No eloquence in my speech. Yeah, she said that as she was eating my Swiss roll that she stole. She said, he don't even talk eloquence, so he don't need the Swiss roll. No, the word of the Lord. So the word of the Lord came to Zephaniah. Now, you got to remember, like we've said so many times, that a lot of these prophets were alive at the same time. There were seasons of these prophets. They were clumped together. And Zephaniah, he's not like, just because he's considered more of a minor prophet doesn't mean he was an insignificant prophet. Minors and majors had nothing to do with significance. It was about length of their books, basically, why we categorize them into different things. So these minor prophets, which would be more like Haggai, Zephaniah, Zechariah, all these that would be considered more minor, they're not less significant than Ezekiel and Isaiah and Jeremiah, but they are just shorter, and that's why they're called that. So the word of the Lord came to Zephaniah, though. Now, what we know is that Zephaniah was the son of Cushai, the son of Gedaliah, and the son of Morah, and then the son of Hezekiah in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah. So we get a little bit of it about his lineage there, and then we're also getting his time frame that he is
under the reign of King Josiah.
Yeah.
Now I get them mixed up. That's one of the young ones. Because there was King Josiah that was one of the really young ones, and then there was one more king that was really young too. And they were both the youngest, but I forget which one was actually the youngest. Was it Josiah that was the youngest?
Yeah.
I know he was very young when he started.
Sorry, my head's spinning from the coughing fit.
So it's just setting us up and telling us that what time frame that this was in. And also it does say that during this time, that his ministry, Zephaniah's ministry, prepared the way and greatly advanced and furthered the power of the spiritual reformation under King Josiah. So he kind of got things going, being the prophet. I mean, there were several prophets, but he kind of, it just says that it kind of set up the spiritual reformation. So.
All right. Sorry. I think I've got it under control now. All right. So, yes, Josiah was a young one. All that to say, yes.
Did you know that his name, beyond the prophecy that bears his name, nothing is known about Zephaniah himself, but his name means Yahweh hides. Yahweh hides. And the meaning of his name offers some clue to the characteristics of the prophecy. So I think that's cool. Learning the meaning of his name, that it was very significant for a lot of these people, these characters throughout the Bible.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to verse 2 here.
Okay.
I can breathe.
I can read it and then you could just tell me.
That would be awesome.
I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of the heaven and the fishes of the sea and the stumbling blocks with the wicked. And I will cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord. I will also stretch out my hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place, and the name of the Chermarims with the priest, and them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops, and them that worship and that swear by the Lord, and that swear by Malcolm. and them that are turned back from the Lord, and those that have not sought the Lord nor inquired for him. Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand.
You can stop there. All right, let's sweep back up to verse 2. So he will utterly sweep everything away from the face of the earth. All right, so I do think there is a judgment come to Judah. I don't think he's done this yet. So I do think there is coming this judgment. So I don't want to underplay that. I don't think he's swept everything from the face of the earth yet, or has how the King James label it that in verse 2.
How does it word it?
Yeah.
Utterly consume.
Yeah. So,
so
I don't think he's done that yet. So I do think this coming judgment to Judah is still waiting. I think there is a day of the Lord that's going to come. All right. And Zephaniah here, I think, is starting to whisper that. It's John MacArthur calls it the far fulfillment, that he's talking about a far fulfillment from this day. I do think it's even hinting to what we have talked about, though, sweeping all things from the face of the earth, consuming it. It's not really talking about taking out the earth. It's talking about coming judgment upon the earth.
Well, it's the things on the earth.
And particularly what? Sin. Yeah. He's judging the people.
Well, and people.
He's judging people, and he's judging sin. And this is now resemblance of the flood, I think, paralleling. I will sweep away man and beast. I will sweep away the birds of the heaven and the fish of the sea and the rubble from the rubble with what? The wicked.
Which, and it does say, I didn't prepare which verse, but the end times will be as in the days of Noah.
Yeah. And so I think there's a lot of parallel starting here. So as we're not gonna get very far in this. We just got it read, and I would have got farther if I could have breathed and stopped coughing for 5 seconds. But
My study notes do break it down in a good, like, it talks about the six different groups that are singled out for judgment. So I mean, that is important that, like, he specifies, like,
yes,
the people that God is pouring out judgment upon.
And I would like to talk a little bit more about those specifics tomorrow, and just talking about some of the judgment is coming, but I do think it comes back to he is judging things, people, beast upon the earth. He's going to take away the rubble with the wicked. He's going to judge the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea. Like, this is very flood-esque.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and the word in that I read, Chermarim, mm-hmm. it's kind of hard to say, but says that it translates to idolatrous priest. So I don't know if it change yeah. that.
And which I think then you do have the idolatrous priests that are even there today. Like, mm-hmm. But I think that there is going to be a group of religious leaders that are going to be judged in a large way. And we can even see that judging beginning today in a lot of things, because judgment first comes in the house of the Lord. But mm-hmm. this is, I do think verse 2 is the precedence. It's what's setting up. And this is almost, you could almost see it if you ever read in the Torah and the Old Testament, kind of thinking more of the law of first mentions. And what the law of first mention is where he sets a precedence and he follows it out.
It kind of, you would probably know the word for this, but when it talks about that Malcolm
mm-hmm.
word, in my notes, it talked about how that refers to the worship of the stars and the creation, and then the queen of heaven. All of that, like, they were, the reason they were on the rooftops is they were, like, looking at the stars and all of those things and trying to worship the queen of heaven and the stars and things like that.
I do think a lot of people parallel Milcom with Molech, the Ammonite god.
It said Sabaism is what.
Let's see here.
I haven't looked into that, but
I'm going to look at MacArthur.
It also reminds me of I don't remember the word for it, but the ones who worship creation. Like, there's a word for those people today.
Yeah.
Like the stars and the
oh my gosh,
nature.
Yeah.
I'd have to look into it maybe during break, but it's the name for the people.
You would have thrown it at me this morning.
I know. It's like their religion or their the ones who worship.
I've said this so many times. This is going to be like, when I look it up, I'm going to be like, of course.
I know. I'm going to be like, of course. I know what what that word is. Yeah. The people who worship how many that today.
We have said that on this air many a times.
I mean, we call them tree huggers. So.
No, there's an actual...
but there's an actual word.
There's an actual word we use in theology for this. And I apologize. I feel like I'm my head is spinning from the coughing fits the last 2 days. Pantheism. That's what it is.
Pantheism.
Yeah, the pantheists. They worship the earth. That's what it is. So...
So, yeah, it's very similar to that.
Yeah.
And we, that just kind of all points to that stuff still happening right now and then the judgment that is to come.
And if you look back again, about all pagan gods were birthed out of Tower of Babel with Nimrod and his mother-in-law and even his brother. So I think you can see a lot of parallels between like Milcom and Molech. And I think you can see parallels throughout the whole basis of paganism and Baal, of course. Baal would be your biggest one. Like, probably Baal was probably the first idolatrous god to be worshipped. And I think that's where, I think you even talk about Beelzebub. That's derivative from Baal. So, yeah. So, but I do think that a lot of your other pagan gods, and we've done pretty extensive teaching on how, paganism and pagan gods and pagan worship infiltrated and flooded the earth after the flood through Nimrod and Tower of Babel, when it was distributed throughout the earth. So Wednesday question number one, let's get that trivia ready. We're going to take a quick break and then come back in here. What was the name of Elisha's servant? What was the name of Elisha's servant? 270-257-2689. We're going to be right back here after the break on Mornings with Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. Amen. Well, what we do have this morning is Brother Tom got it right. Now, his name is in twice. So here's what I'll do. I'm going to count it for the streak if nobody gets this answer before the next break. So, to keep the streak alive. I know some people don't like it, but I'm keeping this streak alive. Yesterday, I was willing to give hints. I was going to be willing to give rhyming words with the answer, if that's what it took. So don't doubt me. I'm keeping the streak alive somehow. But it's good to be with you guys. So I'm not going to give the answer yet. I'm going to give a few more minutes this morning for somebody whose name's not in twice. But then if nobody does, then I'm letting Brother Tom's question, his answer stand to keep the streak alive. Because we're going on 2 months, I think.
It's awesome.
And our streak's alive because he's alive. Remember that old song? Hannah, you probably don't know it. Jacob, you should know it. Carmen used to sing that song, He's Alive.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that one? Mm-hmm. I loved that one.
Carmen had a lot of stuff back in the day.
Yeah. Hannah, did you ever listen to Carmen much? I mean, we listened when we played with our Jacks growing up, but
no, not like when they were big, but I have listened. But did you all know that Josiah Queen did a remake of Jesus Freak? It's actually really good. He did it with Toby Mac.
Yeah.
A remake of it. And it's like less rock that Jesus Freak was. It's more folk. Like, it's more, it's more of a folk, but it's still, with having Toby Mac, it still has the sound to it.
I discovered something about myself. I always said I don't listen to much music, and I didn't realize how much music I don't listen to until I kind of paid attention. So I have about 15 songs on a prayer list that I listen to. Literally, it's like 15 to 20 songs, and those have stayed pretty much the same for about a year or so now. And I realized I did not really realize this till I paid attention. There's only one artist that I listen to outside of that prayer list, and it's Forrest Frank. I didn't realize I even liked his music, and he is I did not realize this, but he is the only music I listen to outside of those 15 songs. I don't listen to I never realized just how much music I don't listen to until that. And I do not Forrest Frank's been the only he's the only artist I listen to outside of those 15 songs. I guess it just naturally happened. I didn't realize it, but I don't listen to any other. I may listen to, in a week,
maybe 30 to 45 minutes of music a week. I'm constant podcast, and I don't know. I'm a weirdo.
I guess what gets me through my day is music.
I don't think I like music.
You like music?
I don't think I do.
So you don't like listening to it? I don't like listening.
Well, I love playing it, but I don't get to do that no more. So, but I don't like listening to music. And I'm such a weirdo. I didn't run. Now, I do like Forrest Frank. It's just such a Jeep feel kind of thing when I get in the Jeep. but I just, I don't know. I just, it's, and I didn't even think I liked his music, and I do. It's just, it's
I
always.
I mean, it just, the words are good. It's upbeat. Like, I don't know how you can't like it.
Yeah.
Unless you listen to the same song over and over and over like I did, and then I had to start switching it up. But
yeah, like the other day when I was frustrated with something, I just turned on, I got so much to be thankful for. I got a house and a bed.
I will say he has a lot of songs about gratitude, so it'll get you convicted.
Yeah.
Well, see, I mean, him and Corey Asbury's kind of been.
They've gotten close.
I've been listening to some of Corey's stuff here lately. He's scratched some stuff and come out and talk and repentant and stuff. It's pretty good.
Yeah. I've heard some of his videos that he has talked about stuff.
Talking about how the industry's crazy and
how he just wants Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah. Come back to his first altar is basically what he's done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he said he wanted to make this worship album that he said I've been really praying about, and I think he's about to release it. He said, I want to go back to just pure raw worship. Just worship. I was like, amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
It is awesome how much Forrest Frank's music, though, like, gets the attention of the even little kids. Yeah. Like, it's because he's so good with the beats and the producing that really it just gets your attention. And I think it really gets the attention of the younger kids. And I've met so many people that, like, I don't know. It's been a good connector.
Yeah.
Talk about with people, and then points to Jesus.
Well, see, there's another artist that's trying to reach across the aisles that I feel like is probably in a lot of compromise, and there's a lot of compromise to reach across the aisle. Like, so he's like, I just want to reach the whole world, so I'm going to use this artist to do it, I'm going to use this secular artist, and we're going to give everybody a platform. And I think Forrest is doing something organically that you can sing one of his songs. Like, I was singing one of his songs at Walmart with my kids the other day, just picking on them, and most of the time it's thankful, you know, got groceries to stay fed. And this woman in front of me, she just looks at me and smiles because I love that song. And, like, it's just...
I know, it really connects you with people because people are listening.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's a good way to see how God will bless something that's being done with the right intentions.
Yeah.
It's practical, too.
You'll see fruit from it.
Yeah. And I know that there's a lot of times that, you know, I may ride somewhere or somebody may ride with me that's not necessarily a Christian, and I'll have Forrest Frank playing in the car, and they're just like, you know, you could tell they're starting to groove with a little bit. They don't know the words.
It's not what they're used to. It kind of sneaks up on them.
Yeah, and I'm not against, but I don't think Forrest is really calling his, like, worship either. It's just like, hey, here's some music.
Yeah.
You know, these are words and lyrics and... just something to enter. But I mean, again, I'm not listening all the time, like maybe 30 to 40, maybe an hour a week. It depends if I'm how much Little League I got, because my kids like to listen to them. So, but I don't even, everybody's always asking about these songs and I don't even know. I think the Josiah King or
Queen,
he does that one Bible song, right?
Dusty Bible.
Yeah, that's
Dusty Bible.
All I know.
He's got a lot of, Briley loves him. And I didn't listen to a lot of his music. I heard the Dusty Bible, you know, it was just some little 10-second thing. I was like, I kind of like that. And then he went to Madisonville, and we went and seen him. And, man, it was awesome. Watching these kids, I mean, they were going up, and he was genuine. Mm-hmm. Like, I can
see that with him, too. The ones that really take the opportunity to not just rock it out, but to worship while they have people's ear and...
And his brother plays drums for him, so I thought it was pretty cool that he kept family close by, and knowing that the industry is pretty, you know, wild, and hopefully that he can stay, you know, the course. Mm-hmm. And so
I've heard a lot of people say about Forrest that, like, well, why does he self-promote so much? Like, he makes so many videos, but I don't really see it as self-promoting. I see it as he knows that those videos are going to reach a lot of, like, young people, because that's what young people do now is make the reels and the the little sounds, like the little audios that they use for their videos and stuff like that. And I think it's smart. Like, I think he's being smart about, like, where he's going to be able to reach the most people with it.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think he even turned down a lot of award shows. Like, he wouldn't go. Like,
yeah.
Band, he's like, I don't want to go. That's not what I'm here for.
I thought about, like, doing, like, golf videos and preaching the gospel at them, because golf videos on social media is really big.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's a
big
market.
I mean, just those
market.
Videos in general.
And one thing that I can do is hit the ball really far. And so I was, like, doing videos of, like, hitting the ball far and then just, like, popping the gospel in there.
Yeah.
Wonder if it's possible.
That's reminded me. Anything that gets popular, I've been seeing people use it to kind of, like, reel people in, and then, like, I've saw a few people use this new Forrest Frank song that's out. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's a new one that he's working on, and it's gotten really big because he opened it up for people to do an open verse challenge.
Mark Weinberg come in there and rap to it?
A lot of different people. Like, he let anybody do it. So, like, a bunch of people are, like, trying to put a verse to it. But there's people, like, I've seen, like, ministers, like, put that in the beginning of their video of Forrest Frank. And then after it turns off, they're like, come out and join us to this revival. Like, they're trying to get more people to hop on it.
Yeah.
So they'll put that in the beginning, and then they'll come and they'll say, come join us, let's worship the Lord together. Like, as a way to get people to keep watching.
Mm, that's funny.
Yeah. Well, I want to do, like, more preaching the gospel. I don't really...
Yeah. Not advertising.
Yeah, I'm tired of inviting people to things. I want to preach the gospel. I want to invite them to Jesus. But it's just like, find any way to preach the gospel. Because there's this one guy, I watch his videos, and he's just nuts. Like, he is crazy. And it's a golf video, and it's just like, he's just like, what? But he's so funny and entertainment. He reminds me of, like, the guy who played John the Baptist on that show that must not be named. And so it's like, he's just intense and funny. And but it's just like, how can you do this for the glory of Christ?
Yeah.
But
I think that's I think that'd be awesome to be able to preach the gospel. It reminds me of something I was talking to Brother Waleed about, because, you know, he's got all the tips for evangelism and stuff because he's been doing it for so long. And I was like, there's sometimes that I want to share the gospel so bad, but I know that I have to have some kind of icebreaker. Like, I know that I need to have some kind of way to, like, open it up or, like, connect with the people. And I'm like, and I know even David Hicks, he shared just something God put on his heart for a little icebreaker to, you know, get people's attention when he was wanting to witness to him with handing out some things.
Yeah, and gift cards and stuff.
Because nobody's going to turn that down. So there's just different things. But Waleed was like, you just got to find something. He was like, there's always something.
Some way that
you can use to get in there.
There was one pastor I watched I was watching a video from the other day. And I don't know his name, but I've really grown to like him a lot. And so I've been watching him. He's about probably my age, maybe a year or two older than me. And he's usually just sitting at a desk. But I like his stuff a whole lot. And if I said his name, you'd probably listen to him. I just don't know it because I'm really bad about that. And he said that he can get to somebody's heart. He said he almost get to somebody's heart in three questions every single time. He said he just needs three questions. And it's not three same questions. It could be, like, he used one illustration, like, how are you? Like, he was sitting next to a guy on a plane the other day, real story. He said, how are you doing, man? And he said, good. And, you know, he said, I'm going home to see my sons. And one son I got to give good news to, and the other son I got to get bad news to. And he said, I'm going home to see my sons. That was his answer. And he said, well, you know, that's cool. What do you, you know, if you don't mind me asking, is hanging out with them? And he said, well, one of them I got to give good news to, and another one I got to give bad news to. And he said, well, gosh, like, you know, that's good news on the good news, but do you mind if I ask you, like, you know, what's the bad news you got to give your son? And within three questions, this guy was already tearing up. And his heart was open, and he just said, can I pray for you? And, like, he was able to minister to him on this just from three questions. And so finding those questions into people's hearts and soul, and being willing to even engage in that way. And I think a lot of people, now you could be very naggy, intrusive, but he did it for more of a caring, loving, friendly way. And it's just, our conversations need to be very intentional.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, I went somewhere Monday with somebody that kind of grew up like my little brother, and I don't get to see him much as I used to all the time. And we played in a golf tournament Monday afternoon and won. Oorah. But we were on the way home. We just had this cool conversation. But then I got on the phone with Joe, and he called, and I called him back, and he got to hear this whole conversation then on prayer, which I was already building into a lot of that because we talked about loving people, and he was just asking me. We talked a little bit about where my life is now and what we got to do. It's very intentional, just like be intentional with people. And we laughed, we cut up, we reminisced, and we picked on each other. And it's such a weird friendship because we will never really be positive for each one. Like, we'll never say good shot, or we always hag and pick on. But then I'm going to find some way to get to his heart. Like, and that's just intentional. Like, and I think in any conversation that we have, anywhere we have, whether it's Jacob on the bread route, whether it's Joe Schmo that's working McDonald's or working Dairy Queen, or wherever it's at, like being very intentional with the conversation, but purposeful. How many wasted conversations do we have with people where there's no substance? And then here's another one. How many conversations do we have that bows to their atmosphere and culture of gossip and slandering or hate or bitterness? Like, if I can do another one, I was at Walmart the other day and I was waiting in line, and it was a disaster in Walmart that day, and they had two lines open. And one of the lines is a dear friend of mine, but I can't say they're the fastest checkout person in the world. You know what I'm talking to? Jake is already like, I know exactly what you're talking about. I love the guy. I give him a hug every time I'm in Walmart and everything, but he just doesn't move fast. Mm. And this one guy in front of me, he's an older gentleman. He's like, hey, you just got those two things. And all I was doing was trying to buy mulch and a tote for here. And I said, you know what? He said, I'm retired. Just go and jump. I said, hey, I'm not going anywhere because you don't have much more than I do. So I'll just sit back there. And we end up talking. And I don't know how we got into the subject of politics. I really don't know how we got there. But, I mean, he said, I am more right-wing than you could ever imagine. I'm more right-wing than Rush Limbaugh. And, I mean, but he was talking about kind of being a Christian but not going to church, and then he went right into this politics, and he's just like, it was almost like hate that he was spewing. And it would have been easy for me to bow to that, because
I'm in agreement with,
because be honest with you, I probably even hold personally some of the same values and opinions.
Yeah, it'd be easy to,
like, it would be very easy to cave to that culture. Mm-hmm. And instead I said, and I didn't even know where he's at with the Lord, but I said, but you know what, sir, I said, here's what I know as a pastor, because at this point he knew I was a pastor because he asked me what I did. And I said, Jesus died for the Democrat as much as he did the Republican. And the last thing that I want to do as a believer is cut their ear off so they'll never hear the gospel. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I said, some way we got to find a way to love those who we disagree with and love those who we may not hold the same values and opinions. Because why? While they were yet sinners, Christ died for them. And I just started preaching the gospel. Like, I took it. It would have been easy for me to just perpetuate it. And then that opened up a conversation into church hurt. That opened up another conversation into these kind of things. And I got a chance, and, you know, I don't think he'll ever come to church, but I got a chance to, you know, to talk to him about the gospel. I did invite him to church one day. But then that opened up a conversation with a couple that's in front of us, and how easy it would have been to cave, to hate.
Did the other couple start approaching you all because they were listening?
Yeah, and they were smiling, and the guy came up and hugged me and shook my hand, and the woman, and they were Christians. They were just so engaged because you could hear. He was a loud guy. You know I'm a loud guy. So it was a lot of
you couldn't help
a lot
hear.
Of people was hearing this conversation because again there's 1,500 people in Walmart and 1,300 of them are in the line with us, and little exaggeration, guys, it's a joke, but it was like it would have been easy to cave. It'd have been easy just to take that conversation into politics and just let her ride, yeah. And we could rip it open and we could sit there and tell people how, but trying to, we brought it back to the gospel. And mm-hmm. I can't say I've always been good at that. Like there's been times I wrote it mm-hmm. But I felt like that time. And honestly, I think we sowed seeds that day. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think we saw the increase, but I think we sowed seeds. And my prayer is that somebody will come back and water it. But that's what I'm saying. Like, we can't cave to their culture. We're not of the spirit of this world. Mm-hmm. We're the spirit of God. And so...
Hey, that is encouraging. If you have a loud mouth and you're talking about Jesus, then you know you're sowing seeds.
You're sowing a lot more than you think. But it's like, you know, if your conversation revolves around how bad the world is, or... I was talking to somebody the other day, and it's somebody that I don't even know. I can't remember. I don't know if it was at the golf course or at the grocery store working. Somehow they wanted to engage with a conversation about this person cheating on this person, that church person, and that cheating on that person. I don't know the person. I don't even know if they really know the person. But it's the conversation they wanted to engage. Why is it my business? Like, I'm not going to waste this moment with you engaging in gossip and slandering and talking and exalting
sin. And
they
didn't even know you?
We knew each other. I didn't know the person. I don't even really know the person. I know their name, but it's like, and it wasn't here. Like, I'm not talking about somebody who has concern over a situation or, you know, like this situation is going to happen and have great consequence in their personal life because they know them really well and a direct correlation.
It was just straight gossip.
And I'm like, I'm not going to participate in this because I may have 60 seconds with you and I'm not going to like make you listen to a sermon, but I want to sow a seed.
Yeah.
I want to water. And I still had the same conversation another day with another person there at Walmart of a young man who is passing out brochures to their church. And it's a church that I would disagree theologically with tremendously. And he passed it out. And I was just honorable and said, hey, well, thanks, man. And because I know the guy. And he come back a little bit later and I was doing bread and he stopped me and we just ended up having almost a 20-minute conversation about theologically music in the New Testament. But it really what it was is it opened up another door, like, why are you all negating the Old Testament like it's something separate? Because mm-hmm. the argument was, you know, well, there is no – Jesus never played music while teaching. And I said, yeah, but Solomon employed 5,000 musicians and David – in the tabernacle had musicians that stayed there day and night worshiping the Lord in a certain part of the tabernacle. And so I was like, all throughout the Old Testament, there's songs, there's music. In heaven, there's music. So why do we not have music here? And maybe it's funny coming from somebody who don't even like music, but it's like, there was that whole, and he was like, oh gosh, okay. Maybe I'm discounting the Old Testament, you know? And so, but it would have been easy. It's easier, honestly, if you think about it. We feel more uncomfortable engaging in the gospel conversation. But it's easier to the flesh to just go with the culture.
Go with the flow. Yeah.
It's easier. Oh, you're gossiping? Let me gossip. You're wanting to talk about this? Let's talk about this. And I'm over time. Hannah, you got to keep me in track here.
I know. I was about to.
But it's – I think we say it's – if it is harder – to go against the flow. But as me and Miss Hannah has said 1,000 times in here, I know this for sure, usually harder is more productive.
Mm-hmm.
Do the hard thing. Like if you're lifting weights and you're not hurting and you're not feeling a little bit of stretch and pain, you're never going to get growth. And so that moves right into our spiritual too. Sometimes you're going to have to do the hard thing. Never heard any other calls, so we're going to let Tom get that. He's not in for the drawing, but the streak is still alive. What was the name of Elisha's servant? Gehazi. 2 Kings 4:12. So the second trivia question of the day. What was the name of Philemon's servant who was imprisoned with Paul? What was the name of Philemon's servant who was imprisoned with Paul? 270-257-2927. 2689. We'll be right back here.
Radio Net.
What was the name of the servant imprisoned with Paul? 270-257-2689. Amen. I'm trying not to cough. I keep on mute myself because I feel like I'm going to cough.
It kind of made it sound like you were hiccuping because you were muting.
I was
I'm
afraid I feel another coughing coming on.
I think we all need a cough button.
Yeah.
I think we need a mute button in here.
I got a mute button in there.
No, in here.
See, it works.
So we can mute ourselves.
It works. All right. Let's go on to some questions for the day. No guests today, correct? Make sure
correct.
I look at the calendar. All righty. Just making sure before we get rolling. And if you got Bible questions out there, 270-230-6337. Again, 270-230-6337. There was something I'll have to talk to Hannah off there, but I think Friday I have a subject for us. We haven't done like a subject morning in a little while, but I got one. I'll talk to you about off the air, and we'll go from there.
Now Friday we do have Brother.
Is Rick
wait,
with
I'm
us?
On, sorry, I'm on the wrong date right here. Yes, this Friday
he's with us.
We have Brother Rick. Yeah,
I think this subject may work well, Brother Rick.
Yeah,
though.
As long as we get him on board with it, because we were planning on talking about some of Waleed's book, but we have already talked a lot about his book, so
yeah.
We'll get with that.
Okay. Let's see. What scriptures can I go to when I'm feeling depressed? We didn't do this one yet, have we?
Mm-mm.
I don't think so. I didn't think we had either. There is quite a few scriptures feeling depressed. Now, I think there is worth a conversation to talk the difference about depression and oppression. Oppression is very similar to the Greek word vexation, which basically means vex, something's coming against you. So oppression would be oppressive thoughts, like it's holding you down, it's coming against you, there's something striking you, there's fiery darts being fired at your mind, all these oppressive thoughts. Now depression is more of the, I call it the Eeyore syndrome, woe is me, it's nobody loves me, nobody wants me, nobody likes me, I'm alone, nobody cares. More of an Elijah in the cave. There's no one else serving the Lord other than me. That's more of a depressive type thought pattern.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference between oppression and depression. Then anxiety is definitely different in the sense that's like kind of really deep worry over the what ifs. Like, what if this happened? What if that happened? Or what if this doesn't turn out this way? It's more of the what ifs. I call anxiety. And so there's a lot of different ways. And sometimes I do think we need to identify what we're dealing with, especially maybe you're praying with somebody or you're giving biblical counsel to somebody. And it's like, all right, so I feel like this person's more of the depression. They're more into anxiety. And I do think that's important to know how to battle it and know how to pray for it and also know what scriptures to give to it. For example, if somebody is dealing more with anxiety, it's not, don't give them scriptures about being sad, because they're really not sad. They're in freak out mode. And really that freak out mode is honestly most of the time birthed from survival mode. It's from protective. Like, what if this goes away and I'm left exposed with no money? Or what if my health gets bad and I have to walk through this? Or what if my kids go cray-cray even more than they are now and I lose all my hair? Like, what ifs? It's the what ifs that's birthed in there. Those are more scripture we drive them to. Like Jesus said, if the Father takes care of the sparrow, how much more will he take care of you? If he knows every hair on your head. You know, he told Peter when Peter started worrying about, like, taxes and temple, because at this point, Peter wasn't working. Like, they had given up their fishing business, so it's like, Lord, what do we pay taxes? Like, if we're just walking around with you, and he said, hey, render to Caesar what Caesar, and Peter's kind of like, I have no money, and he said, go to the fish's mouth. Like, that's a good story for anxiety, because when we feel like we can't make it, he's like, just go to the fish's mouth, man. He said, I'll take care of you. If you're walking in obedience to me and you're giving your life to me, I'm going to take care of you. And that's what that story was really showing us. So depression, though, what scriptures to go through to for depression? I'm on my way over to some of them. Hannah, is there any more? Is there any of them that just pop off to you?
I mean, I kind of think about Job, which I'm sure there would be anxiety in that too. I mean, there's a lot of, like, even in Ecclesiastes and some of the wisdom literature, like, there's a lot of depression there.
Yeah.
I feel like there's, I don't know as many verses of, like, solutions to that depression in those yeah. books. Those are more, like, showing, like, these are things that we're going to walk through and experience in the flesh. Yeah. Like, these are things that are valid. Like, these are valid things. They're real things. But I think really we got to stir ourselves up in the gospel and, like, the New Testament, really. I mean, because we can go back and see, like, what other people walked through. But I think we need to stir ourselves up in the exhortation type scriptures whenever we're depressed, because it's like when you're depressed, you're like lacking motivation.
Yeah.
You like, we need to get motivated through.
Well, I think lack of motivation is a result of depression. Like, 'cause you just feel like nothing's for you and everything's, no one loves you. Like, Isaiah 41:10 is probably the number one scripture people go to. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. But I think the key verse to that is the first part. Like, I am with you. Because when you're battling depression, you feel like nobody's with you. Like, when you walk with depression, you think everybody's against you. Like, when you walk through depression, you're like, nobody really likes me. Nobody really wants me to talk to them. So if I call them, they're just going to be nice to me out of obligation, not out of... These are thoughts that depressed people have.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite verses here is 2 Corinthians 7:6. And this is, I love this verse, especially when you're walking into depression. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforter us by what? The coming of Titus. This is 2 Corinthians 7:6. But God, who comforts the downcast, comfort us by the coming of Titus. How did God actually comfort them? And he sent Titus.
Yeah.
Like, there was community. There was, I think the number one thing you need for the walking in depression is community.
Mm-hmm.
And please don't surround yourself with other depressed people. Because then you're just going to feed off of each other. You need a Titus to come. You need the body of Christ to come. You need to avail yourself. Now, here's the thing. If you keep hiding out in the cave like Elijah, you're still going to suffer mentally. You're going to, that thought pattern is going to perpetuate itself, and it's going to get deeper rooted. It's going to get harder to overcome, and that stronghold is going to get even more solidified. You need to surround yourself with people who's going to love you. You need to go find a person who's just ridiculously happy and surround yourself with them. And there's a lot of people out there that's going to, and again, that could be like, just surround yourself by people that have like passions. Like, maybe you have a hobby you like to do. Go play that hobby. Maybe you like, Miss Crystal talks about her and Mr. Todd playing pickleball. Like, anything like that. Like, find something you can do with people. Find something you can do with people. And let it really drive you. And then also, it's like, he comforted us. And I think he uses people within the body of Christ to comfort those who are depressed. And I feel like that's a really strong verse for that, to understand mm-hmm. that he comforts the downcast. And how did he do that? He comforted them by sending Titus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe you don't battle depression. You're thinking, well, this conversation don't apply to me. Maybe you're the Titus that needs to go and help those who are depressed. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That doesn't mean you're smiling constantly, but be ridiculously positive with the things of God.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just be ridiculously positive. Like, celebrate what God's doing in your life. Like, I guess Hannah's now it's probably been 3 or 4 or 5 months. She's been full of gratitude, still full of gratitude. Build that life around it. Make sure you filter all your words through the Holy Spirit. Maybe you need to be that Titus to somebody that's depressed.
Yeah. Because the thing is that gets you out of that, it's not when everything starts to go the way that you need them to go. It's when you choose the joy, you choose the the getting in community when things are still bad.
Yeah.
Because if you're waiting for things to just be fixed to be out of depression, then you may not ever get out of depression. Because that's what I've found is, like, choosing gratitude doesn't always mean, you're grateful because things are going great.
Yeah.
It means, like, you got to choose to be grateful when things are not great. And that's what will help you not to be so, your emotions be the thing leading you. Is when you've gotten used to making the choice whether things are great or they're not.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what keeps you from, like, the cycle of depression. Yeah. For a lot of people, like, there will be a trigger. And when you're triggered by something that's not going well for you, or you've messed up, a lot of people go into depression from failure. Like, I know for me, that's been the case, and I've seen it in a lot of people. It's like, when you are under condemnation, you're beating yourself up about something, that's when you go into a cycle of depression. But that's when you have to choose grace. Mm-hmm. You have to choose the things of the word in those times too.
Yeah. Yep. I know there was a situation happened in my life late last year that it was a curveball that hit me, and I was just like, I did not handle it well. Like, it was kind of like an exposure of my own heart, didn't handle it well. And then this year, for the I don't know if it's a third or fourth year running. I think it's the fourth, but it could be the third too. Something has messed up with our tax refund. Like, 1 year it messed up, and I didn't get it for a year and a half after the time I was supposed to. Like, they paid me $600 or $700 in interest whenever I finally got the tax. And I always love it when you have to pay taxes on the tax interest because they were late getting your tax check. I remember having to file taxes on the tax interest because they were late getting me it. I love that. But anyways, it's like the third or fourth year. So this year when we filed, we filed and I double checked everything. And guess what?
It happened again
this year. It messed up again. So we have no idea when our tax refund's coming in for the fourth year. And my instinct was, I hate the IRS. Like, mm-hmm. I was like, they never get anything right. And I was going to get fired up. And then I was like, why? It'll come in. Like, could we use that money? Oh, you better believe we could use that money. But the last 3 years when I've got upset and mad, didn't do no good for it. Guess what? I still had to wait. So this year, I'm just like, hey, all right. You know, and then I was supposed to be able to update my banking information. They was going to send it, try to resend it electronically. Now we got to wait on a paper check. It's not even going to work that way. And it's like, wow. Like, last 3 or 4 years when this has happened, and this has happened multiple years in a row now, and it's always some kind of logistic or something like that. And I was just like, I'm not going to get upset this year.
Because when you get upset, it's not going to accomplish anything. With them, it's not going to hurt them any. It's just going to.
Someone I know is still waiting for a refund from the year before last.
Yeah. That was me a couple years ago.
Like, not this year's that he's filing, but the
one before.
Yeah.
Yeah. You remember I think it was the cruise we went on with you all, Hannah. And it was like we had already received two other refunds and still waiting on that one. And it came in a week before I think we went on the cruise. Just out of nowhere. Just popped. So it was right on time.
Right on time. And they knew you need that savings.
This is what I need. Like, this is what I have to realize. And it's so easy not to realize it is, but, like, his ways are higher than our ways. And if we feel like we're in, I think some really bad theological teaching is that we're in charge of our life.
Mm-hmm.
He's sovereign.
Yes,
he's working all things together for our good. And so this whole teaching that God is not sovereign, I think it's actually almost more of a doctrines of devils than it is anything, because it's teaching us to trust in ourself.
Yeah.
There's nothing good within
me. And it gets us to doubt that he really is near to us and involved with us.
Yeah. It's almost like he's just given us this tools and it's up to us to make this right. No, like, I can do nothing outside of him.
Yeah.
And I've got to trust that nothing is happening outside of him. Because if not, then that means there's just free rein on me. And I don't see that anywhere in Scripture. Like, where there's just, I don't see that with Job. I don't see that in anywhere in Scripture where the devil's just having, he may be the God of this world, but that is more along the lines of influencing, trying to put fiery darts in, trying to draw us into desires and give us into sin, doesn't mean he's in control of me. Like, especially as a son and daughter of the Most High God, like, my address has changed. My kingdom has changed. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm a mm-hmm. citizen of the kingdom.
It kind of reminds me of, like, how Satan wants to be God, and he's considered the God of this world. Like, that's his only reward.
Yeah.
Like, just as it's Jesus says, when you do these things for yourself to build your own self, you will have your reward here.
Yeah.
That is the reward. Like, getting the thing that your heart so desires to fulfill your flesh, that's your reward. That's your only reward, yeah. is satisfying that in this life. But then you're missing out on all the rewards and the honor and the, you know, the exalting that the Lord could do for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a son.
Do you ever think, speaking back to this depression thing, because one thing that when I've ever went through hard times like this, a lot of the times the enemy will trick you into thinking about the negative things and what's not, you know, like what's not happening. And then the Lord always reminded me, and this was a scripture that got me through a lot, was Colossians 3:2. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on this earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ. When Christ, who is your life, appears, and you will appear with him in glory.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was thinking on set my mind on things that are above. Mm-hmm. Set my mind on things that are holy. You know, and what is that scripture?
Philippians 4:8.
Philippians 4:8. And I want to read that. Is that okay? Mm-hmm. I want to speak that to these people. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, what is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think on these things. What have you learned and received and heard and seen in me? Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. And I think a lot of times when we start thinking about that thing, those different things, I think it starts to change us. Maybe not instantaneously, because you're still battling. But I tell you what, another thing that helped me was share the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Even when I didn't feel in my life everything, you know, it was just falling apart and just depressed. But when I shared the gospel, it did something in me. Mm-hmm. It changes you, because that's what we're setting our mind on things. When you set those things about that are honorable, mm-hmm. and things that God wants us to do. I mean, we could always think about everything else,
yeah.
and dwell on it. But if we can't change it, why do we want to change it?
Yeah, because if we're focused on who we are in Christ, and we're focused on all of our inheritance that we have in the kingdom, we're focusing on, I mean, you can't help but get joyful.
Amen.
Like, you can't help but start to feel confident in who you are. I think the depression a lot of times comes in like you're discouraged.
Yeah.
You're discouraged. You feel hopeless. You feel like you don't have significance. Like, you don't have value.
Yeah.
You just feel like you are worthless, but that is so contrary to our life in Christ. Like, and it's not to say it's not real. Like, these are real feelings that come and real things that we experience as believers still, but we just can't, if we stay in the depression, then we're living in a lie, because depression thrives on lies.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah. What if we used Philippians 4:8 as a filter for our thoughts? I think mm-hmm. that lines up with Corinthians, where it's like taking every thought captive. Because what if we just did this? All right, I'm going to finally, brethren, whatever things, because these are things we're going to think on. All right, is what I'm thinking right now true? Do I know it to be true? If it's, I think this eliminates things that are half-truths, conspiracies, things we don't have substantial things. Don't think on them. Don't dwell on them. Let it go in and out. Things are honest. Is it honest? Is it honorable? Does it have integrity about it? Are these things pure? Like, is this a pure thought that I'm having? Is this a right thought, a just thought? Is this a lovely thought? Is this based out of the premise of love, or is it hate? Are these thoughts good reports? Like, I know this is the report that this person's given me, but this is the report of the Lord, and I'm going to dwell on the good report. I'm going to dwell on what the Word of God says over my life. Is there power in this thought? Is there praise to God in this thought? Like, what if we just meditated on those things? And out of the abundance of the heart, then what will start to speak?
The mouth. Mm.
The reason we're speaking corrupt things out of our mouth is there's corrupt things in our mind and our heart.
Yeah.
Our inner man's corrupt, so therefore our outer man will let go of that inner corruption. And so you got to, it's not just about not saying the perverted joke in your head. Don't think on it. Mm-hmm. Don't think of the things that are unjust. Don't think on the things that are untrue. Don't get caught up in every wave of doctrine. Don't get caught up in every news story. Don't get caught up in everything that we see. Don't get caught up in everything. Like, I actually went to a news thing the other day and is like, hey, it's been a long time since I've been on here. I don't even know what's going on. I felt free. Felt good. Because I don't need to know what the weather is in Brazil. I don't care. Like, I mean, at the end of the day, I don't really need to know what's happening in Sally Mae's life in the middle of France. Like, these are things that inundate us. And it's like, is it pure? Is it just? Because how does our news cycle sell in America? Fear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
it, how fears.
They get money, yeah.
They click. It's called clickbait. We're going to label articles that's not even, they're misleading in the name even, just so you'll click on it, because every click you give us gives us more money. Mm-hmm. Because we can count that traffic and sell more ads. So it's clickbait. It's drawing you in, and how do we keep coming you back? Make you feel so scared not to know something, because if you're ignorant on something, it's gonna take you out.
Mm.
So I got to know everything, and then we're dwelling on things that are not just. We're not dwelling on the Word of God. We're dwelling on unjust things. And I've had to live this. We were talking about this at the break. I have lived frustrated as none other from the gas prices.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have. Like, since they raised, and there's a lot of questions I still have. Like, why are we paying high gas prices whenever the oil barrel's gone down? I just don't get all this stuff. I still don't get it, really. Whether it's the local market, the global, whatever it is, I'm not comprehending how we're paying higher gas prices when the barrel of oil's lower. I've sat there and struggled with this. Like, it hurts. Like, you know, I'm paying it's like an extra probably $5 to $10 to fill up my van, and I'm just like frustrated. And I'm sitting here going, but what's it gonna do for me? Like, it's gonna steal my joy.
Yeah.
It's gonna steal my peace. And I'm trying to let it go. It still hurts a little bit when I have to pull out the debit card and pay for the gas. But I want to dwell on the things that are pure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, when you have gratitude, like, or when you choose gratitude, because you don't always just automatically have it, but, like, you start to think, you really do start to think more positively. Yeah. Like, you start to think, okay, I'm paying this much extra. But, God, thank you that I'm still able to drive. Like, yeah. Thank you that I have a vehicle and I still get the same function that I did before. It just costs more. And then thank you, Lord, that this has given me an opportunity to trust you more. You know, yeah. Before, when things were coming a lot easier and a lot more abundance, it's easy to not grow in faith and grow in trust and lean upon you. But thank you, Lord, this is going to give me an opportunity to grow in my trust with you.
Yeah. And a lot of it's not like I even realized it Monday a little bit during the golf tournament, because Brad called me out and he said, won't you just think a little pessimistically? Because I wasn't playing that great. And I was just sitting there going,
sounds like the devil.
It's like
devil on the shoulder.
It was a true statement, because I was being really pessimistic.
He meant to say optimist.
No, I was being pessimistic. Like, he said, why don't you just be a little bit more pessimistic?
Was being a little sarcastic.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, he was being sarcastic. Sorry. At me, but it was a true statement. And I'm sitting here going, huh, you're right. Like,
yeah.
I mean, we won the golf tournament by probably 5 shots. Like, it wasn't even close, but that's not good enough for me. I wanted to win by 6 or 7, and it's like, I wanted to get to this number, and we weren't hitting it, and it's a hard day. Wind was blowing. The greens were running pretty quick. None of the group was really playing their A game by no means. And I'm just sitting there going and I'm thinking, man, that floods over into my whole life sometimes. And I feel that. Like, I tell myself more than any pastor, but it's like, I get very pessimistic in my thinking. And I need to be reminded of Philippians 4:8. I need to get I'm going to get it tattooed on the inner part of my hand. So I just have the whole checklist right there.
No, you need to get a glass.
Yeah, that would really hurt. all right, but
glass half full.
Yeah, like, you know, have that whole scripture tattooed on. Oh, I haven't heard. But it's like, to have that Holy Ghost filter, is what you're thinking right now pure?
Yeah.
Is what you're thinking right now honest? Is it just? Is it true? And I mean, from the gas prices to this to that, it is easy.
Yeah.
It, I mean, one restaurant we used to go to, they had a $5 value meal. Now it's a $6 value meal. Why? And if you're not careful, you will let that $1 climb in a value meal ruin your day.
But I think it really is like, it's where your heart is at, because then it really does start to flood into all the areas. Because it's not just about the Happy Meal. It started with something. Like, it started with, it got in your mind or in your heart, and then now that's your, the way that you're looking at everything.
Yeah.
It is really your view, your worldview. Nope. And that's what I've noticed with myself, because I'm normally a more optimistic person. But when I start to get pessimistic, I know something's off balance.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
Because that's not even my how I'm wired. I'm wired to be more optimistic. So if I start to be like that, I'm like, something has gotten in here, because that's not even normally how I am.
Don't you think, though, like, we're talking about this, and it just hit me, you know, because I've been a big complainer about the gas prices, too. And the Lord just convicted me, and he says, don't you forget sometimes, every time you go to see those prices, you need to speak my name, Jehovah Jireh. And I'm like, man, sometimes we forget that.
I do.
You know, like, he is our provider. We got to remember that. And I think we forget that even when we think it's, oh, God don't care about that little. He does.
Yeah.
Because he loves his children. He's going to provide. And I think sometimes we so forget that. Because, you know, when you're chasing after these things and you work so hard and you're like, it's like I'm doing nothing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you try so hard to get ahead, and then you're like, maybe God wants us to see him as Jehovah Jireh more than Jacob, you're providing for your family.
Yes.
Maybe, you know? Maybe he actually wants us to travel list. He said, I'll jack the prices up so you can't afford to travel.
Maybe
so
you
just stop going everywhere and do everything all the time.
I mean, it really could be it.
Like, you know, we just...
Because this isn't just us. I mean, this is our culture, and the Christians that are in this culture all face this these same temptations.
Yeah. And it comes back to, for me, to tell on myself, and I don't know if anybody else is there, it shows me just how much, if we're not careful, mammon will become our God.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because gas prices don't affect me emotionally. What they do is they affect my pocketbook, that then affects me emotionally, because my joy too often rest upon what that number in my bank account is. Oh, I got some safety now. I got some comfort now. Yeah. Like, and I forget, like, whenever we were at a grocery store with Jeremiah the other day, and we bought something, and I said, charge him double. His dad owns a cattle on a thousand hills. And that young lady just looks at me like,
I'm like, what are you doing?
Jeremiah left. He's probably, he had a certain shirt on. He's like, they probably think that's my dad or something, because he probably does own a thousand farms. And it's just like, but we forget that, man. Like, we forget. Yeah. We have a dad.
I think we got to take a self-assessment sometimes on, like, times when we have had more. And, I mean, you all can see this, like, with working different jobs and stuff like that. And times that you've made a lot more, it starts to get to your head a little bit sometimes. Like, I remember when I first had a job that I started making more than, like, pretty much minimum wage. It was like a big jump from minimum wage to something that I wasn't used to.
Yeah.
And it, I mean, if that starts to get in your heart, and it really did start to kind of get to my mind, like, I was always checking the bank account, like, I need more. Like, it becomes it can become addicting to want to just make more and more and more. And then what the Lord has shown me is, like, what are you doing with the more? Mm-hmm. Like, what's even the reason? Why do you even want the more? Why do you... And it really starts to expose your heart of why you want it, or, you know. And so anyways, all that to say, I think something that kind of can help fight that temptation or get out of that, like, thinking that it's you providing for yourself is giving it away.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think that's what the Lord has really, really started to teach me. And at first, oh, it's hard. Like, I remember me and Ethan have had, like, conversations of, like, oh, that's, like, that's a lot. Like, that seems like a lot. And even, like, we're talking about with gas prices, like, we're like, that's a lot. Like, that's taking a lot from us. But when we start to realize, like, okay, everything that we have is already God's anyway. Mm-hmm. That's what he tells us. Everything we have comes from him. True. If we own it, like he owns us, you know?
Yeah.
So when we start, I think it's just our mindset has to get right on it so that it doesn't get in our heart the love of money.
I think sometimes, like, even with that, like, to the person who is struggling, trying to provide for their family, or somebody who, you know, might be struggling to make ends meet, I do think that God sees you and he's going to provide. I mean, he is Jehovah Jireh. But I was thinking about that the other day. Some people were going on vacation, and I prayed for them. And we pray every time we go on vacation. I'll pray, you know, like, Lord, send your angels to protect us. And then I'll say, but also help us find the best deals. Open it up. And every time I pray for that, people say, that worked. And I said, it ain't really that I'm asking God for. I just think he'll lead you in those places. And Kirstie, every time she'll say, that's crazy because we'll pray that and we'll find the better deals everywhere we go. Like, I can't believe we found that.
Today. Didn't get my wife to look for deals.
Well, I think if your heart is right, like that you want to be a better steward,
then
the Lord will answer prayers like that, you know. But if it's just like, ooh, let me get better deals so I can get more and more and more, that's different.
I think it's more like the food because,
yeah.
I mean, that's always the costliest thing when you're feeding your family on vacation. But we would find the wildest deals sometimes and be like, oh, this week only. And you're like, what? That is wild.
I think sometimes. I mean, we have not because we ask not. So the Lord will do stuff like that to show even like your kids, like, hey, this is the power of prayer, you know?
Oh, yeah. Callie does it all the time. She pray.
I love it when your kids start getting onto the weather. Uh-oh. I think you're raising some weathermen or something, weather women. But they Briley knows everything about any storm that's coming, but then they start getting out, in Jesus' name, peace be still. They're not going to let anybody get destroyed by us.
They're so funny.
Mine, like, they know for me, like, I think, was it last year we had the tornado come through pretty close?
Yeah.
And now, like, my kids always like, Dad, you're crazy, because I watched it on my front porch. I don't ever go in. Mm-hmm. I watched. There was one time I did go in last year. I didn't go in the bathroom, but I went inside at least. But my kids are always like, can I watch it with you? Like, they want to be out there too, but I usually make them go in there. But, yeah, I know Braden, he'll talk to me about storms. He bought that one app.
He pays for the app.
For the app just for increased storms, and which, you know.
Well, we went to their house one night, and that last tornado that hit Litchfield.
Y'all was over, wasn't you?
Yeah, we left our house, went to his house, and got really close to where the tornado, you know, whatever it did, and jumped or whatever. And I'm watching out the door, and the kids are, like, trying to get in the hallway, and I'm looking out the window. I said, Braden, it just took your trash can and threw it up the road. And I'm thinking, it's just a strong wind. I said, but it probably was the remnants from that tornado throwing your trash can. And Kirstie's always, like, I want to go outside, and Kirstie's like, you better not. Because she's like kind of, it bothers her, the storms. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I remember being 12 and 13. I used to hide in closets during storms. Like, it could be a thunderclap, and I'm in a closet because I was terrified of them.
Me too.
And the Lord delivered me from that. Yeah. I'm not saying like I'm
a storm chaser.
My heart, I would. Oh, yeah, I wouldn't a heartbeat. It would not take nothing for me to chase a tornado. But my heart goes out for those who are affected by it. And my heart really does break for those who lose everything. So I'm not like, I don't want to be insensitive to that, but
like that you love, there's like devastation that comes.
I've shifted from being scared to actually loving storms, enough that whenever I'm reading or studying and, I have to tune out the world, I have a, on my music app, I have a storm that plays. It's what I, so, no. A storm is what I listen to actually study the Bible.
Wow.
So if I just have to clap out the whole world, it's a rain and a thunder and lightning. And it's just, and it's just whenever Nolan was in the hospital with brain surgery and I actually had to sleep on the floor of ICU, cause we didn't have nowhere else to sleep. And I slept on the floor. And if you've never been in an ICU with kids, it's very loud. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got machines going out all night of the hour. They're not, they're private rooms. There's about there was like 10 beds in one room, and so everything there together, and you just have a little curtain separating. Listen to Storm that night. Like, I just love Storms. I love them. I would chase them in a heartbeat, and just I love them.
I do too.
I love them.
My grandma used to tell me to calm us down when we was kids, we was scared. She goes, "It's just God and the angels bowling." And I was like, "Oh, okay." Strike, you know. And so now you kind of look back and see that your grandparents, they were so creative about how they talked about things.
Yeah, somebody told me it was God giving us a firework show with the lightning and, like, the heat lightning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we don't have an answer yet. We've got to get this question. What was the name of Philemon's servant who was imprisoned with Paul? What was the name of Philemon's servant who was imprisoned with Paul? 270-257-2689.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, I think that's a real conversation about what we had, though, with the just letting things get to our heart. And,
oh, yeah.
Because I think that kind of thinking, actually, the pessimistic, it will lead you down the road of depression. Because, like, when you're depressed, all of your thoughts are negative.
Yeah.
It's everything. It's, like, the worst case scenario of everything. And it's like somebody, like, comes to you with good news, and then you find something bad about it.
Yeah.
Or you can't rejoice with people because you're just so...
The streak is alive. The streak is alive. Onesius is the name. What was the name of Philemon's servant who was in prison with Paul? Onesius, Philemon, verse 10. There's only one chapter, so just verse 10. And Miss Lisa Ashball got that correct.
I knew it.
So,
I'm glad I got it right.
Hallelujah.
I almost blurted it out.
So
but then
the streak is still alive.
Then I muted myself.
You ever think about that when you're like, you want to say no?
Yeah. But I do want to speak. I do want to say something to those who do struggle with fear of storm. I don't want to leave that too soon. I don't think we have storms coming in, so this isn't like to prepare you. But the Lord can deliver you from that. Like, no matter what that fear is, there is a spirit of fear that grips you. And the Lord doesn't want us to live it. Now, I'm not saying don't live in nonsense.
Healthy fear.
Like, I'm not talking like, you know, I'm going to touch this burning stove burner because the Lord's not going to let it hurt. Like, I'm not saying don't use wisdom or test the Lord your God. But I am going to say this. You're not called to live in fear.
No.
You're not called. And I tell my kids that all the time. Like, the Lord didn't give you a spirit of fear. Like, we're not going to live in fear. And it doesn't matter if it's storms. It doesn't matter if it's, honestly, I've used that phrase with them over, like, what if they don't like me? Or we was at a ball game one night at a different, in Louisville, and there was this young girl that she kept kind of sitting closer to our girls, and she looked younger. And Eliza's, like, kind of looking at her. I didn't think she had friends. We never met her. But she kind of looked like she was trying to make friends, but she was kind of like, I don't know if they want to talk to me. So I was like, Eliza, go talk to her. And Eliza's kind of fearful. I was like, Eliza, just go make friends with her. And Eliza was honest. I can't do that, Dad. I can't do that. And I was like, but the Lord didn't give you fear. Like, just go say hi. And I kept nudging Eliza to do so. And you know what? She eventually went and said hi. And she talked to her forever. They became little friends and chit-chatting and stuff like that. But you know what it was? Stopping her fear. And that fear manifests in so many different ways. So whether it's storms, fear of interaction, fear of introducing yourself, fear to share the gospel, fear of finances, all of that you can give to the Lord, and He will give you peace, and He'll give you strength. And, I mean, it was even the disciples, like, don't worry. Don't be fearful about what you're going to say when you're set in front of leaders. I'll give you words. Like, it doesn't matter what that fear manifests in. Fear and that spirit of fear that will keep you from doing what God's called you to do, or keep you in bondage, or keep you, like, I don't want to spend my whole life hiding in a closet. And that's what I was doing. Like, I'm not saying if a real tornado's coming, take shelter. Like, I'm not saying that's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking, like, there was no threat of a tornado. It was just thunder, and I'm in there. Like, I that's not what the Lord has for us. Now, I am saying if there's a tornado coming, take shelter. Don't hear that, because I do think you should take shelter. I've watched tornadoes pretty close before and chasing them. They're crazy. They're intense. So I'm not saying that. I do think you should take shelter if there's a real tornado coming. And I don't think that if it's a severe storm, you should go out and play baseball. Like, I'm not saying be stupid with it, but I am saying this. Don't let it grip you. Just like we've talked before about grief. there's a season to grieve, but you can't be grieving for the rest of your life. Like there's a season you got to leave that grief, and there's a season you got to leave it. And there might be seasons that are harder than other seasons, and there's things that's still going to provoke fear. But fear can't have you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can have fear because sometimes fear is there for your protection, but fear can't have you. And if your whole life, I know a person who has like a fear of throw up. Like, it's like a phobia they have. They just can't do it. They're so afraid somebody's
going to... Oh, like actually doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, like a legitimate... No, not them. They're afraid somebody's going to throw up around them. They cannot deal with
it. See, I used to have it of it happening to me. Yeah. It was like, I would like hyperventilate and really? Try to stop myself from it happening because it was just so scary. Mm.
But it's like, I don't know if this person would ever even have like kids because of it.
Oh, wow.
Because I just don't want to throw up.
Oh, wow.
And like, now I'm not saying that's the only what reason.
But that's
why.
When it can be so unhealthy if it's keeping you from doing what God would.
And that's
have
where
you
God
do.
Can deliver you.
And even, hey, I know there's the enemy will try to put fear on you from even having children.
Yeah.
Just that fear in general. Yeah. I've experienced that, and the Lord can deliver from that too. Anything that tries to keep you from doing what God would have you to do.
He wants you to have a sound mind.
Yeah.
A sound mind.
Yeah.
And freedom.
Gosh, I have lived in fear. I have lived in constant fear because anxiety breeds off of fear. You don't have anxiety absent of fear.
Mm-mm.
Like, fear is what drives anxiety because the what ifs. And that could be, that's not just weather. I mean, I just want to say, because we got into that topic, if you do suffer from that, like in an abnormal, I'm not saying having respect for the weather, or having wisdom with it, but I'm talking like abnormal fear.
I think that they all go, I mean, even mental health professionals they notice this, that the fear and the depression and the anxiety, all those things go together because you know when it's ridiculous. Like, people know when your fear is keeping you from things and it's nonsense, but then you feel like ashamed about it. And when that, like, the guilt or the shame from, like, why am I like this, that's when the depression comes in.
And it paralyzes you.
It does. And it keeps you stuck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that 2 year of anxiety with me, it was crazy. Like, it was nuts, like paralyzing. Like, it shut you down. It shut you out. Your whole life was given to fear. What ifs? What if this happened? Like, you know, you could, like, it was ridiculous. And I have great empathy upon people who are walking through that just because I had to walk through it. But I also want to say that God can deliver you out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And he can transform our mind. He can renew it. He can give us a sound mind of peace and joy. He can give us righteousness. And whether it's your bank account, whether it's the weather, whether it's, as Miss Hannah said, having kids or fearful of your kids' health. Mm-hmm. Like, how many parents have we talked to? Or even like, you know, what if my kids don't turn out? What if I do this wrong? What if I do that wrong? I'll never forget the first time I held my own kid, Jackson, and thinking, they expect me to keep this thing alive. I don't even know how to change a diaper. Like, I was fearful. But as I told so many other people, if the Lord's trusted you with that kid, like to even give you that kid, he can trust you to raise it. He's with you.
Yeah.
And I went home not knowing a lick of things about raising kids because I was always the youngest sibling. So I never had a baby even under me. I was the youngest of the whole family, and the Lord was with me. I mean, made some mistakes early, didn't know, like, you know, we're all growing. Like, now 7 kids in, like, this is a breeze.
Yeah.
Like, this is a breeze. But also it helps me. I didn't realize it, but, like, yesterday we had a kid get hit in the nose at baseball, and probably his nose is broken. If I never had kids, I'd probably freak out. Blood going everywhere and, you know, crazy scene. But having so many kids, I had learned some stuff. And I was just calm and like, okay, let's put your head down, like, squeeze it, and got his nose stopped bleeding. And his mom's actually a pediatrician, so it worked really well once I could get him to her. But it was like, I had to get his nose stopped bleeding at first. And but it's like, don't be afraid of the unknown. Don't be afraid of everything going around you, because he's actually going to use these situations to mature you, to build you, trust the process. And you just never know where just because you're not there today and just because you don't know how everything's going to work out today doesn't just trust the process and realize 10 years from now, you're going to be in a whole different place. And all these what ifs you had in your mind, they're not 99.99 of those are never going to come to pass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was talking to somebody on they stress about being single and how am I ever going to get married and what's it going to be like and all those fears about that. And I was like, when you're married one day, you're going to look back and be like, why did I ever why did I freak out so much about all this? Why did I? You'll just be settled at that point. You'll be, you're living in the answered prayer, but you'll also look back and be like, I could have spent my time so much more wisely. because it's going to come.
It's
like God, He ordains the steps of the righteous.
That's
so
right.
Whatever we need is going to come.
Yeah.
So let's spend our time waiting wisely. Let's just spend it wisely, not our health suffering because we're so anxious and we're neglecting time that we can spend with our family and our friends growing our relationships or growing our relationship with the Lord to prepare us for when we do have the thing. And He's going to work it out regardless, but we could be in a lot of a better place if we spend whatever that waiting time is focusing on the Lord and what He has for us.
Because a lot of times the worrying is probably just going to exacerbate the issue.
Oh, yeah.
Like if it's a health issue you're worrying about, well, worrying and stress builds cortisol, which is not good for you.
Makes
the levels out of whack. Yeah,
that's
true. Your nervous system contains all of it. If you're worried about money and all you're going to do is sit there and worry about it, well, stress is going to get in there. But also, if you have a financial difficulty, first thing you can do is pray about it. The second thing is say, instead of sitting in my room or my house worrying about it, let's go figure this out. Let's make the hard phone call. Let's go get a second job for a couple months or whatever it takes, and ask the Lord to help us in that or ask the Lord to provide. Be more proactive instead of reactive and just – and I can't say I'm never going to worry again in my life. I will. It'll probably hit me at sometimes, but I need the body of Christ around me to remind me, hey, He's got you.
Amen.
He's got you. It's going to be okay. And sometimes last year when that hit me, people was telling me, I was like, I didn't want to hear it for a day or two. Because you want to feed that spirit because that spirit's trying to attach itself. You got to disconnect from that spirit. And that spirit is not always just a demon. Sometimes that spirit is that inner man trying to rise up, who you are, that strong code. Sometimes it is demonic. Sometimes it's that strong code. Sometimes it's a mental strong code. Maybe it's a generational thing that wants to reattach itself to you, a familiar type spirit. Identify what you're dealing with, but remember at the end of the day, He did not give you a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. And, that's it's one of the few songs I listen to, Sound Mind.
Mm-hmm.
Probably because I need it a lot.
We all
need it.
The rest, I learned how to rest in Him. That's our biggest thing, I think. And at the end of the day, everything else don't matter. But resting in Jesus.
It's all but vanity.
It all,
the things of the Spirit of the Lord.
And He cares as much about what you care about, like your family and your kids, more than you do. And you got to remember that. And He cares more about you than you, more about yourself. Because He knows what's better for you than what you know for yourself. So.
Amen.
Well, we're out of time. Flew by, as always. Hannah, final words?
I don't like final words.
Oh, departing words? Till tomorrow words?
I like Jacob's words. And just a lot of practical wisdom today. We need it. So.
Jokester?
Yeah.
Amen. I would encourage us, go smile today. It's proven your body reacts to smiling.
Yep.
Tell a joke, hang out with a friend, love Jesus, pray.
Listen to the song Thankful.
Yep. Listen, I got so much to be thankful for.
If you're thinking about all that you're thankful for and all that you have and all that God's done for you, don't have room to think about the bad.
Amen. I got a roof.
I can do all things through Christ.
Amen. Creek don't rise, sun still shine, and Jesus has not returned. We'll be back tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time, here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.